Yeah, I'll give them afterward. So, Hare Krishna. I was told you had some specific questions. Are there some specific questions? No? Yeah? Looks like you're all prepared for taking notes there. Yeah, if you have any specific questions, you may please ask. Yeah. What to do and what not to do. Well, you can ask your guru if it's pleasing or not. Not always here. You mean in general or any specific action? In general. Then you can ask. That means in general he's pleased with your general, what you're doing in bhakti and all. You can ask. But you should also be able to understand to some extent that if we are following all the activities that are given in Shastra and given by our acharyas, such as rising early, chanting the holy names, following the four regulated principles, then why should Guru and Krishna not be pleased? We should never think that what we're doing is fully pleasing. We should always feel some dissatisfaction that I have to do more for Krishna. I just spoke about that. I gave a whole lecture on that on Friday in Dubai. That will probably come up on the internet fairly soon. Our devotee is satisfied because he has no material desire. He doesn't hanker for anything in this world. But he's very happy to be in Krishna's service, but he's also dissatisfied because he always feels I should be doing more for Krishna. And another dissatisfaction is seeing people who are not in Krishna consciousness and wanting to help them come to Krishna consciousness. That's the summary of one lecture I gave just 2 days ago. We want to come to Krishna consciousness. We have the inability. Well, always we have the inability. We don't have any ability of our own. We can desire, but even to lift our finger, we think, I'm lifting my finger, but that ability can be taken away. The whole finger can be taken away. Those of you who are in physiotherapy know that people, they take it as normal that they can move the various parts of their body, but due to various reasons, it becomes stopped. What we take for granted, all of a sudden we can't do it. I had that experience some years ago in the winter. I woke up one morning and the whole right side of my body, I couldn't move it at all. I was wearing a shirt like this while sleeping. I couldn't move, I couldn't take the shirt, I couldn't brush my teeth. We take it for granted we can move our arm, but then because of the cold it became completely stiff. I couldn't move it at all. So we have no ability, actually we have no ability of our own. But Krishna can give us ability. So we shouldn't think, I am doing. But we should desire to do. And then Krishna helps us. Otherwise, what ability do we have? We're very small beings, as I was just saying in the class. We're very small. Krishna is very great. He can give us ability. But we have to have desire also. We should have the determination. We shouldn't think, I will surrender to Krishna when Krishna wants me to surrender. In the meantime, I'll go to parties. But we should desire to surrender and pray to Krishna for the ability to serve Him. And we should make an effort in devotional service. Atma Nivedana, surrendering ourselves in Krishna's service, that we should do. But we have to decide if we want to chant or not chant. We should chant the holy names of Krishna. We should decide if we want to follow or not follow. It may be in some circumstances we can't do. For instance, if you're in a coma, you can't do any devotional service. But in general, there's some scope for serving Krishna. We can do something. Isn't it? In Kali Yuga, Krishna asks us to chant His names. We can do that. He doesn't ask us to fight with Ravana. We can't do that. We can chant His names. So please do that. It's not difficult. You can do it. So please do it. Yeah, then? You got different advice from two different senior devotees, yeah. Yeah. We should listen to the seniors in Krishna consciousness. Among non, we should listen to non-devotees also? We should listen to the parents, yeah. Try to please them. The other advice from another senior devotee is to have your own goal and your own plan in Krishna consciousness. And not let anyone else interfere. Sounds a bit like Arjuna before he heard Bhagavad Gita. Right? That's the second advice is too individualistic. Me and Krishna. I'll do what I want for Krishna. But there are so many other devotees. We can't be totally cut off from them. And we don't want to listen to them. That won't please Krishna. In the beginning stages, it's good to be guided. Intimately. Later we gain some independence. We should not be... Just like a baby in the beginning is completely guided. As the child grows up, he gains some independence. But the child never becomes completely independent of the parents. It's not that the child should expect that the parents will feed me when I'm 25 years old. Rather, the parents should be able to serve, the children should be able to serve the parents independently. But they don't become totally independent. So that's an example. All right. Okay. And just to make you feel good, the real thing's in the chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, all mixed up. Yeah. One of these guys. Almost there. I got that. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Dependence, independence, and interdependence. These are different words. We are all dependent. No one is fully independent. Only Krishna is fully independent. We have a little independence, which we can use or misuse. But that independence, little independence, we have to remember that we are, basically we are dependent. Just like this, without Krishna giving the energy, I can't even lift this finger. So we have to remember that. Little independence, we should not misuse that. But we're also not robots that we should have to be controlled at every moment. Coming to Krishna consciousness doesn't mean to become a robot. Rather, one should... One should be the most intelligent, thoughtful person. That may not be for everyone. Actually, as you know, in Vedic culture, as you're all in women's bodies, in Vedic culture, it's a very dependent position, not a very independent position. Everyone in modern culture, people are more independent. And they say that women were very controlled, but actually everyone was to a large extent. Just like even the man is married, as long as his father and mother are alive, he has to follow what they say in the old culture. Nowadays they don't follow anything. So everyone, it was a very structured society. You could say very protective, but that protection is good, because people now, they have no direction, no control, and mostly people misuse that. So that culture of control, protection, especially for women, that was there. That's nowadays considered a fault. But actually that's natural. The natural function of the woman's body is to give birth. And with that comes constant looking after the child. So the woman needs to be protected. She's going out and working, then she can't look after the child. Then the child doesn't get looked after properly. So these are all basic understandings of traditional culture, which nowadays in the name of giving women equal opportunities means they have to go and work and all these kind of things. Which is that an advantage? What every woman wants is to have children. But nowadays they say, no, you have a career. Better have a devotee husband, have children, look after the children. And don't go to work. This going to work is for young girls. It means they'll just be you'll just be exploited. That's all.
Yes, as you said, a woman's body is made for giving birth to children, and once children are born, they need to be looked after. That
yeah.
Is there. But then at the same time, women, they all have. These brains, there's some sort of an intellectual hunger that they want to read, they would want to something.
The intellectual hunger is not more than the emotional hunger. Every woman wants to have children. So intellectual can be there, but the looking after children comes first. You may do, but You'll find out in due course of time that when you have children, you don't have much time for anything else.
In good time.
You don't know. In good time means it's already past time. Body's already ready for that for some time. It's unnatural. This way of thinking, which you're drilled into through the school system and the television and everything, it's unnatural. It goes against your psychophysical makeup. This is called not being politically correct. That's the natural law. So your Krishna consciousness, yeah, that will go better in your natural position of being under the shelter of a husband. Should be a Krishna conscious husband. Modern society is very disturbed. But going and mixing in the college with so many boys and then in work, it just leads to all kinds of mental agitation. And usually it leads to adharma also, or pap. This is called progress. They call this progress, that everyone's having illicit sex. They call it progress. So, my advice to all of you, you're asking about spiritual advancement, but within the traditional context, that would go on for women in married life. You're already making it more difficult by being in the unnatural position of having being independently employed like this. Very difficult for you to hear all of this. If the devotee husband requires his wife to work, he should understand Prabhupada's teachings better. Why should he send his wife out to work? He's the husband and she's out with some other men, more than with him. What is that? Just for money? These days, yeah, people are wrongly trained. So that's why I'm saying these things. Things are not so easy and affordable, so cut down. You don't need a TV, you don't need furniture. So many things. We have so many unnecessary necessities. Previously no one had a cell phone, now it's considered a necessity. I don't have a cell phone. I have all these gadgets, but I don't have a cell phone. Just what you need. Cut it down. Live simply. Then you don't... People have artificial needs that they have to show off. They have to have a fancy car and so many things. Just showing to others. Live simply. Best thing, go and live on the land. Then you don't need any of these things. That's what Prabhupada recommended. Live simply, chant Hare Krishna. No need to commute 20 kilometers every day. Just stay where you are. Breathe fresh air. You know what that is, fresh air? Ever had fresh air in your life? Breathe in fresh air. Be with the cows. We were just there for 1 month in Hyderabad, staying on the farm. Very nice. No disturbance. Sometimes from a long distance you can hear the sound of the train early in the morning when there's little moisture in the air. That's coming from about 12 kilometers away. That's better. Live simply. Like Krishna. We're worshipping Gopal, so you can be Gopali. Modern life is a disaster. People in India don't believe it. They want to follow the West, and the West is a complete... It's just shown now, the whole society is a disaster. Everyone is following America. Now America's a mess. Anyway, it was a mess. But now even the American people can see it's a mess. There's no jobs. There's to go to school, the children have to be searched for weapons. What kind of society is that? They're afraid that children are bringing guns to school. They're killing literally millions of animals every day. You can't expect anything good in such a society. Here also. Now, what's the price of milk here? 1 liter? In Bombay it was 40 something? 48? What is it here? 24. That's all mixed. Shud gai ka dud. Only you hear about it. You probably won't. You can't get it. So. Life is very difficult. Unnecessarily difficult. I'm giving some idea. I don't expect you to accept it, but I'm just saying what is correct. I don't expect, you won't accept it. You might think about it. You probably never thought about these things, huh? If you see a 5-year-old girl, a little baby is there, naturally the 5-year-old girl will like to take and keep on her lap. Natural propensity. Then they get educated, and then they forget all these things. Anyway, your parents probably won't even allow you to do that, huh? You have to be 28, 29 only, then they'll marry you, is it? Or they expect you to just pick up some boy from somewhere, is it? They expect you to just grab someone. Srila Prabhupada wanted to preach, yeah? I can't hear. Please speak a little loudly. I can't hear. You'll have to speak more loudly. If we lead a secluded life, if we lead a secluded life, how will we preach? Well, Prabhupada wanted preaching centers in cities and farm communities outside the cities so that people who are preached to can go and live there in a way that they can be Krishna conscious. And that is preaching also, showing people how we can lead a life without this madness of the city, chasing after money, working hard all day and night. That's also a kind of preaching. So preaching is for people living in the cities. That means some brahmacharis like that. But for the mass, Srila Prabhupada's idea was to have farms where people can live simply, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, like that. Sorry? Grihasthas can preach. They can preach also. But for the majority, Srila Prabhupada wanted them to go to the farm. You don't get much time to preach. Grihasthas can preach, but mostly they don't get much time because modern life means you're so busy, working hard, day, sometimes all night also. So there's not much time. Even for sadhana, there's not much time. What to speak of preaching? This Bhakti Raghav Maharaj has a project near at Hebri. Have you heard of that? He has some farm project like that. Yeah.
They work in an institution where only ladies work.
Well, only ladies work. Why ladies are working? Why have them work? They should be looking after the children, isn't it? Looking after the children, looking after the elder members of the family. What is this? I mean, all over the world, people are thinking how to get out of work. They're thinking, you know, how nice it would be not to work, and then they're pushing the women also to work, and they're thinking, yes, it's very good if I work. Strange. Work is there in the house. There's an. You see, if you work, you earn money, but then you have to, you have to buy washing machine, this machine, so many machines, because you don't have time to do the housework. So you're working outside to pay for all the machines inside, but if you stay inside, you don't need to have all the machines. And if you do all the housework, you stay healthy, but if you're sitting in an office all day, you have to go to the gym or buy a treadmill machine. So you're just working to spend money for things that you don't really need. And they call it necessity. It's only necessity because you're working. Then your food becomes very expensive because you're eating outside, whereas if you cook at home, it's much cheaper like this. So it's just an illusion, actually, that you're economically... The quality of your life is going to go down if both husband and wife are working. And you find there's so many kids. They come home from school, no one there. No loving mother, no fresh food for them. Only they have the internet, whatever they want to do on the internet. So this is a horrible way to raise children. It's violence to them, not to be there for the. Who was that? Just the other day, someone was telling me that someone had told him that he or she had seen their sister. I think this is in Poland, and the child came home in the evening. The mother came home in the evening. They'd say hi. That's all. Then he would get on the internet. And she would bring him something to eat, and that's all they said, hi, to each other. And he'd come home from school and he'd be on the internet. That's it, bus finished. This is horrible life. So one of the things that Prabhupada wanted to do was to re-establish human society. Now, as you may have... If you listen to Srila Prabhupada, you hear all the time you're saying modern society is like cats and dogs, not even humans. Have you heard that? If you listen to Prabhupada, you must hear, because he says it all the time. Now we have so many topics about spiritual advancement, but one of the things Prabhupada wanted to do is to establish actual human society. Human life is meant for God realization. But if people are living like animals, then how can they properly prosecute spiritual cultivation? So, to show how people can live simply, peacefully, naturally, and cultivate Krishna consciousness, that was one of Srila Prabhupada's main aims, actually.
So anxious, huh?
Yeah, it's like
you say that we should take care of the children once you get married. So what should we do?
No, you should get married. Not once you get married. You know, when I'm 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Most girls get married, they've already had a few abortions. No, better to marry sooner, have children while the body's still healthy. So many women have problems having children because they marry late. The hormonic cycles are upset because they didn't have children. And they're unhealthy. So, better to marry early, have children. Like that. I don't know why you're so anxious to do a job. What is the fascination? Why are you so enthusiastic? I have to have a job. Can you tell me? I don't know. I'm asking. You're brought up in that culture. You're brought up in a culture in which you think that you should have a job. Well, you're brought up in a culture which didn't encourage you to chant Hare Krishna. So you've changed. That's a big change, isn't it? Many of you were brought up, I suppose, eating meat. Or even if you were vegetarian, probably there was onions and garlic, right? So you've already gone through many changes. You're brought up in a culture. Going to college away from home means it's expected you mix up and have boyfriends and this and that. So, hopefully, if you're in Krishna consciousness, you've come out of that. So, you already went through so many changes, major changes. The whole way of thinking has changed to a large extent, hasn't it? So, why not this also? Now I know our devotees mostly don't preach this. But Srila Prabhupada did, so I'm communicating that. I guess, I don't know why our devotees don't. I think many of our devotees are also fascinated by the prospects of modern life. But how can you be really a devotee if you're still thinking of enjoying this material world? I mean, it's understood that householders, they have some little comfort and they're not living exactly like sannyasis. But the same principles are there for all devotees, which means that dedication to Krishna means side by side there's detachment from this material world. That has to be cultivated. Otherwise, we can't really be a devotee at all. So that's there for everyone. How to cultivate that is different for different people. In the role given by Krishna to women is to do that, to cultivate Krishna bhakti while following Stri Dharma. That's the favorable situation. This is an unfavorable, unnatural and unfavorable situation. To be independent. If we want to call ourselves followers of Srila Prabhupada, we should know this, that Srila Prabhupada is very strongly against this idea of women's independence. Bring the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bring one copy in English. Yeah, you're in a horrible situation where the whole society throws you into this independent situation. But I'm just telling you that it is a bad situation. Open it in chapter 16. Which verse number is that? Text number 8. Is it? Yeah, read it. Read the Sanskrit and then the English translation. Pravritting cha nivritting cha janana vidura suraha na shocham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. Is it? What's the second, third line? It's 16:7. Pravritting cha. Okay. So read it out. Those who are demoniac.
Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them.
Okay, read the purport.
In every civilized human society, there is some set of scriptural rules and regulations which is followed from the beginning. Especially among the Aryans, those who adopt the Vedic civilization and who are known as most advanced civilized peoples, those who do not follow the scriptural injunctions are supposed to be demons. Therefore, it is stated here that the demons do not know the scriptural rules, nor do they have any inclination to follow them. Most of them do not know them, and even if some of them know, they have not the tendency to follow them. They have no faith, nor are they willing to act in terms of Vedic injunctions. The demons are not clean, either externally or internally. One should always be careful to keep his body clean by bathing, brushing teeth, shaving, changing clothes, etc. As far as internal cleanliness is concerned, one should always remember the holy names of God and chant Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The demons neither like nor follow all these rules for external and internal cleanliness. As for behavior, there are many rules and regulations guiding human behavior, such as Manu Samhita, which is the law of the human race.
Law book, is it?
Which is the law of the human race.
Okay.
Even up to today, those who are Hindu follow the Manu Samhita. Laws of inheritance and other legalities are derived from this book. Now, in the Manu Samhita is clearly stated that a woman should not be given freedom. That does not mean that women are to be kept as slaves, but they are like children. Children are not given freedom, but that does not mean that they are kept as slaves. The demons have now neglected such injunctions, and they think that women should be given much freedom, as much freedom as men. However, this has not improved the social condition of the world. Actually, a woman should be given protection at every stage of life. She should be given protection by the father in her younger days, by the husband in her youth, and by the grown-up sons in her old age. This is proper social behavior according to Manu Samhita. But modern education has artificially devised a puffed-up concept of womanly life, and therefore marriage is practically now an imagination in human society. Nor is the moral condition of women very good now. The demons, therefore, do not accept any instruction which is good for society, and because they do not follow the experience of the great sages and the rules and regulations laid down by the sages, the social condition of the demoniac people is very miserable.
So this is a description of the demons, the asuras. Now in the verse itself, it doesn't say anything about women, right? But Prabhupada cites that as an example of a prominent example of how people of demoniac attitude, they don't follow the Shastra. So Srila Prabhupada took it very seriously. That women are to be protected. Protected means there cannot be, you can't be independent and be protected. So women are free, but that means they're exploited. They can be, anyone can take them, use them in the name of freedom. They lose their dignity. So someone should tell you these things, isn't it? I mean, if you want to be devotees of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's followers, you should know what his teachings about women are. Now, Prabhupada, of course, he was preaching in the West, and he had many women followers who are from a different kind of background. So he didn't force this on them. I'm also not going to force, I'm not going to get a whip and force you, nor is it possible to do so. But especially coming from India, to some extent, even now, you should understand these principles. In this purport, there's nothing exactly directly about Krishna consciousness, is there? It's about social organization. But that's also required. Krishna himself speaks in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashah. Krishna set up the Varnashram system. So Krishna thinks it's important. And within that there's Brahmana Dharma, Kshatriya Dharma, Vaishya Dharma, Shudra Dharma, and Stri Dharma. So many rules are given there. So I'm just informing you that if you can understand these principles and follow them the best you can in the modern world, that will be better for you, and that will be very good preaching also. It's also good preaching to show proper, just like you were asking, who will preach if you're on the farms? That is preaching. Preaching by proper behavior also. Otherwise, as Prabhupada notes, that family life in the modern age is practically imagination. People get married, but then they don't look after the children properly, they're divorced, and then they marry again, then divorce again. Or it's very common in the West that they don't bother getting married at all. They just live together for some time. And when they're fed up, they go off and live with someone else. Therefore, Prabhupada said, just like cats and dogs. Living like cats and dogs. If they get married and the husband doesn't support them, therefore you have to have a job and this and that. You have a job so you can prepare for your divorce. Better to get a proper husband who won't even think of divorce. Instead of planning for your divorce before you get married, it's better to marry in such a way that you don't even think of divorce. And actually, if you act as a submissive, chaste wife, then the husband, he won't want a divorce either. In most cases. It may be difficult, I know. The modern age is very disturbed. Sometimes the husband is not properly behaved. But the Stri Dharma, her dharma, she should do her dharma. Even if the husband doesn't do, she should do. That is the example. You will not be the loser by following your Stri Dharma. And actually, that's better for Krishna consciousness, taking the humble situation, humble position. There's a story, some rishis were coming to see Vyasadeva to ask him three questions. Which is the best yuga? Which is the best varna? And which is the best linga? Which is the best gender? So at that time Vyasadeva was bathing in the Alakananda, the river just in front of his ashram. So bathing means you go down three times. You know that? You go down three times, you come up three times. So he went down one time, sages came to see him, he went down one time, he came up and said Kali Yuga. He went down again, he came up and he said Shudra. He went down and he came up again and he said Stri. So it's all the unexpected answers. Kali Yuga is the best because Kaling Sabhajyantyaya Gurnagya Sara Bhagana Yatra Sankirtane Naiva Sarva Swarto Bhilabhyate. Kali Yuga is the best because simply by chanting the names of Krishna, everything, all spiritual benefit can be achieved. And Shudra is the best because if he simply has to serve, he doesn't have to make all difficult decisions like Arjuna had to make, just serves, and wife for the Stri, same also. She simply has to serve and her dharma is complete. So that was Vyasadeva. Generally the opposite will be said. Satya Yuga is the best, Brahmana is the best, male form is the best. The male form in human life is actually meant for self-realization. But if the woman simply serves the husband, she gets the same benefit. That's why it said for a woman, She doesn't have to do any tapasya or vrata, anything. She simply serves her husband, everything complete. Serving the husband means the children, the elders, all this kind of thing. It is difficult in the modern age because, you know, serve the elders and they'll want you to watch TV and so many things. But if you get a good husband, then you're all right. But it requires preaching, because I see most of our devotees, they're interested in careers and jobs and getting ahead. But why? Why should we go along with the modern society? If we know it's wrong, then why? That's the problem. We think it's somehow modern life is good. What's good about it? It's not favorable for Krishna consciousness. So there are some thoughts for you. You came to ask different questions, but I told you, better you all get married, be Grihini Vaishnavis. And you were asking, one senior devotee says one thing, another senior devotee. Mostly, I tell you, all the senior devotees, they either won't touch this subject, because they think it's too controversial or something, or they'll advise you in the opposite way. No, that was for the old days. Prabhupada said that, but it's not practical nowadays, and this and that. But I think of myself, if I have one good quality, I actually believe what Prabhupada said, and that what he said is given to him by Krishna for the benefit of all of us. So Prabhupada often spoke like this, and it makes sense. It's not just some fanaticism. It makes sense. So you can kindly think about it. Previously, your grandmothers, and they didn't have to think about it. Just they got married and they went on. They didn't. Nowadays it's so complex. You have to think, you know, what should I do, this, that. But the natural system is, you know, get married, have children, follow Stri Dharma and Bhakti Dharma side by side. Horrible, horrible things to hear, huh? What if? What if the husband dies? Oh, you want him to die? You didn't even get married yet? I mean, what's the point of asking that question? What if you walk out and you get hit by a truck? I mean, it's not a normal situation, is it? The husband dies, there are allowances there also. Well, you have to see. If she's young, especially if she's without children, then remarriage may be there. Generally, it's not recommended, but maybe also. The idea is that, you see, in the modern age, marriage means it's like some kind of economic arrangement. But the whole idea is the wife, she serves the husband, not so much as a duty, but she gives her heart to him, thinking of him as the representative of Bhagavan. So it's very difficult to give your heart twice. But anyway, like I say, it's an unusual situation. It's not something you have to worry about too much, we hope. Sorry? Should not work. Yeah, generally it creates adharma. The women are going outside the home and mixing up with all different men, taking orders from different men. And how can she properly execute her function as a wife and mother? I'm sorry, I can't hear. What is it, Eka? You mean before marriage?
No, after marriage, what if there is a lady in mind, her husband passed away?
Again, what if the husband passed away? Then you have to say.
No, there is a lady I know, her husband passed away, and she has two young children to look after.
It may be, and I'm speaking the general principle now. There may be exceptions due to the situation in the modern age. Previously there were joint families. So if the husband died, the woman would go back to her, either stay in her family or maybe go back to her old family. There was a joint family set up. Now that's gone, so you have to see. I'm speaking of the general principle. How it's practically applied in different people's lives, that we'll have to see. Maybe making some adjustments to the modern situation. But I'm speaking, at least you should understand the principle. And follow that as far as you can. When the parents are not supportive, they say, don't marry. And it's a very difficult situation, isn't it? Don't marry a devotee. Well, then you have to try to get some senior devotees to try to convince them otherwise. Why you asked to dovetail your studies toward Krishna? I don't know. Sorry. I guess if you're in that mess, you might as well make the best of a bad bargain. Study sincerely. Sincerely, sincerity is meant for Krishna. Yeah, if you're in that mess, you're supposed to, you know, you're paying so much money to be there and this and that, so I guess if you're there, you might as well do it. In the prestigious situation of being a Manipal student, how wonderful. Yeah. As you're there, you might as well do it. But don't be overly enamored that, oh, I'm a Manipal student. At the time of death, we have to remember Krishna. So we have to pass this life in such a way that we can remember Krishna. So, if you're in Manipal, then alright, you study. But don't think that it has any ultimate value. The only thing of ultimate value is Krishna Bhakti. Anything else? How to overcome material attachment. Become attached to Krishna. Alright, anything else? You would like to go and take prasadam? Yeah.
It said that we are not doers, Krishna is a doer.
Well, we are doers in some sense. Krishna gives us a little independence, doesn't he? He gives us little independence to choose what to do. Even to do it, Krishna has to allow that. That's true. But we are the doer of our acts in as much as we choose to, we desire to, and Krishna gives the ability to do so. But if we shoot someone, we can't say, well, Krishna did it. Right? You become responsible. Right? You can't say. You go in the court and say, well, actually, Krishna did it. And you are responsible. Hare Krishna. Yeah. I couldn't hear, please sir. How to develop sincerity. Associate with those who are sincere. Read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada is sincere. So if you associate with him by reading his books, you will become sincere. If you want to. Chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. Do that. Alright. Alright, so you all go take prasadam. No? More questions. Speak a little more loud. I think my hearing is diminishing. You know, that's natural with age. That all the hearing, smelling, touching, tasting, feeling, everything. Remembering, it all diminishes. Why have we become envious? You say. Why have you become envious of Krishna? It's an individual bad choice, isn't it? So, love Krishna, don't envy Krishna. We're all here because we've turned away from Krishna. Why? That's our own bad choice. You can say. Now you go to Krishna. Yeah, go. You now go take prasadam, please. You also have to take prasad still? Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. If you like, you can read this one book I made, this Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. That will give you some idea of how nice this culture is. What I'm saying is not meant to condemn you. You can see how the things I was talking about, how nicely they worked within the whole culture. You can see that. Don't be fooled by this modern life, thinking that it's very good. Modern life destroys, it's all based on sense gratification. It's most unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Uh-huh, yeah, please. Just hold it there. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Because of past mistakes,
anti-Krishna consciousness. They want you to marry, or you are married. They want you to marry a non-devotee. That's all fixed up?
It's not fixed up, but it's like, there are many arrangements done for my marriage, for a non-devotee. They do not agree to the devotee, because they don't want me to come.
Yeah. Well, you could ask Jai Radhe Devi Dasi from, she's from Kerala, she's in Abu Dhabi now. She's in a difficult situation. She's married to a non-devotee. She's going on with her Krishna consciousness. It's very difficult for her, but she's going on. Maybe you could contact her, but the best thing is if you can, before you get in that situation, if you can have some senior devotees, maybe speak to your parents, But if some senior devotees speak to your parents, they might change their mind. Already tried that, huh? They don't care whether you're happy or not. So you can tell the boy that these, you know, these are things you want to follow, then he won't want to marry you. Isn't it? If you tell the other side that these, you're following all these things, then no one will want to marry you, non-devotee. You have to be as cooperative as possible. But you can't go, if they want you to eat meat and all this thing, then you obviously you can't do that. There are so many devotees who have been in this kind of situation. You can take advice from them. You're not the first, that's for sure. There are so many like that. Maybe I'll sit outside and then you can go and take prasada. Okay then. Hare Krishna. They're not what?
They're not supporting for my marriage with a devotee.
So that advice I just gave, anyone wants to marry you, you can tell them these are the things we are following, then they won't want to marry you. Then your parents will have to marry you to a devotee, ultimately.